Roses are red and violets are blue. Pull up a chair because I have a true crime story for you.
Tuesdays with Trisha, episode 40. And please take care and caution while listening to this episode.
All right, you ready?
Yep.
Okay, I'm recording, so don't worry.
Edit. Okay.
Sometimes I edit this portion, sometimes I don't. Sometimes funny things happen.
Yeah.
You know, while we're just.
Because it's just natural.
Yes. How's your coffee, by the way?
It's really good. I haven't even had this one yet. And I was like, oh, the winter flavors are out. I have to get one.
I know. I was tempted because I love getting peppermint mochas. It's the only thing that I get from Starbucks. But I was like, oh, crap.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Absolutely. Glad it's good. Looked good. Brooke's not so much. I was like, oh,
she likes the ones that like make you feel like you're on crack.
Yes, that's why she drinks like 20 Red Bulls.
Yes, I know. It's terrible. Her heart's just like beating out of her chest all day.
I don't know how people can do that. I can't because it like gives me anxiety, and then I'm sitting there like,
I'll shake. I'm shaky. You do. I get shaky. Mm-hmm. Like literally, this will make me shake.
Yeah, I do the same thing. That's why I don't do it anymore, because it's the espresso in there. So
yeah,
every once in a while, I'll do a Red Bull, but then I cut it with like water because I feel like.
See, I do the same thing. I like chase mine with water, like coffee water.
So yep,
like,
same thing. Just like, yeah, I'm not going to get the heart palpitations.
Exactly.
I totally feel that. That's hilarious.
Still on top of coffee, though.
Yes, absolutely. It's, you know why? It's because we're these smokers.
Yeah, exactly. So gotta even out.
Yeah, Brooke must like the sativa, because some people that like the energy like the sativa.
Yeah.
I like the indica. I'm a chiller. All right, well, welcome to Green Bay, Wisconsin for this week's episode. If you're a first-time listener, welcome to the coolest place on earth. If you're a repeat offender, my heart is with you, and welcome back. I don't think anybody can ever see that I do that heart
but
thing.
But you do it.
But I do it. I do it.
That's
I
should. All that
matters. All right, well, we're flying ourselves back into the Midwest. I know I've been to Wisconsin before in my podcast. But for those of you who don't know, on the map, Green Bay is right outside of Lake Michigan. I didn't even know that. It like actually sits in like the little peninsula there. So it borders, you've got Lake Michigan and then I think Lake Superior, which is above it. So Green Bay, and then you got Milwaukee, which is the capital. Home of the Green Bay Packers. Boo! I'm a Bears fan.
We're Packers in our
house. Oh no! Oh my God!
You picked a good one.
Yeah, I really
honestly,
did.
Honestly, me too.
Okay, so here we go. I'm in the Cheesehead house. So it's also too home of the Harley Davidson Museum, which I didn't know.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, they've got tons of breweries there, obviously known for Milwaukee's Best, which is a pretty shitty beer, but I mean, I'll drink it.
I guess.
It's along the lines of, I think, like Budweiser.
So it's like a lighter beer.
Yeah, okay. Definitely. So obviously you guys have been hearing me talk. I'd like to introduce my guest for today. I met her actually through my coworker. She's my coworker's wife. So she is now a new friend of mine.
Yes,
I'd like to introduce you, everyone, to Katie.
It's Katie. I'm
Katie.
Here.
Yay, welcome to the show.
I'm excited to see where we go.
Yeah, definitely. Kind of gave you the rundown a little bit of what we're going to be talking about. So for my listeners, if anybody's familiar with TikTok, everything seems to blow up on there. So this one is where I found, my sister actually sent me this.
She was like, this is really fucked up.
Yeah. yes, this is really fucked up. Here, let me send it to my sister.
Right.
So she did. She was the one that told me about this. Today, we're going to be talking about Taylor Shabusiness, who is 25, and the person that she murdered in this was poor little unsuspecting 24-year-old Shad Therrien. So,
so
yes. So this is a very recent case. Just so you know, I actually don't cover a lot of recent cases.
Okay.
I won't cover a case that is like actively open. The only one that I have covered that was actively open was the Idaho mom. I don't know if you remember hearing about that.
Maybe.
The Doomsday Mom.
Oh, like, yes. The,
yes.
Yes.
Tylee and JJ.
Yes.
So, yes, that was actually the only case that I followed kind of like throughout its little course just okay. because I was so angry.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know many that. People who weren't talking about it.
Yeah, totally. And it blew up because I had read it a few months back before it even, and then it like completely like blew up. Okay, rudely interrupted by my computer here. anyways, we were talking about the Tylee JJ thing.
Right, how big it was.
Yeah, how big that was. So as I was saying, I normally don't cover recent cases. This one, however, has a conviction. So this is why I'm covering this case. So I just thought it was super cool. You know, when my sister sent it, I was like, oh, sweet. We can get into this one.
For sure.
So you saw the TikToks of this.
It's fucking crazy.
Yeah, totally.
I feel like you can see in her face that she's really not there.
Yes. And that's like one of the things that first, you know, so just to catch everyone up, well, I'm going to do a brief thing of the murder. On February 23rd, 2022, 25-year-old Taylor Shabusiness murdered and dismembered and decapitated her 24-year-old lover, Shad Therrien. At the time of the murder, Taylor states that she was having sexual intercourse with Shad and was also under the influence of meth and weed and trazodone is what it was. I wrote like opioids to begin with, but then I actually went into it and I was like, okay.
That's a very strange mix, I feel like.
Yeah, absolutely. It's quite, you said it, you were like, oh, that escalated quickly like from 0 to 100 with that. So the day of the murder, what Taylor says happens is that she picked up Shad from his mother's house in Green Bay. They went to another friend's house. They apparently smoked weed at the house. Then they decided to do meth. You smoke meth, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you can.
Yeah. What else can you do with it? Can you
snort it? Yeah, okay. You can inject it.
You can inject it?
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, that's like one of the most potent ways too, obviously, but it's definitely a process of melting it down.
Wouldn't that be considered heroin?
No, meth is like complete opposite of heroin. So if you think of heroin as an indica and meth as a sativa, right? So we're on like total opposite sides of the spectrum.
Yeah.
So if we're doing meth, we are gonna be up for fucking maybe 5 days, and heroin, I mean, that's gonna put you down into the couch immediately.
Okay.
So, I mean, if you're injecting meth, you are most likely in a completely different world at that point.
Yeah.
And, you know, you get, like, that superhuman feeling. You get the, like, racing heart, the racing thoughts. You can't even hold a thought, you know. So, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, so to go from meth to trazodone, I mean, that is just...
Yeah.
Out there.
Yeah. And obviously it could be just because that's what they had at the time.
Yeah.
Yes. Question. If you inject meth, smoke it, or snort it, do they have different effects?
I would say they have different potencies. I wouldn't say your effect is still going to be the same. You're still going to be on meth.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Me snorting it versus injecting it is going to probably be a little bit different, but I wouldn't say very far off.
Okay, you're still out in the world.
You're
and
still on meth.
Okay, you're still on meth.
Yeah.
And then heroin is the people that are like passed out.
Yeah.
And then you're just like in your own like little heroin hole.
Right, right.
How long do you stay in that for, do you know?
Well, most at this would depend on amount. That would depend on amount.
Yeah.
Normal people, it's not that long. So this is why people do so much heroin in a day, is because you can do it back to back to back to back to back to back to back. Not like OD as quick as like meth. If you're doing it back to back to back to back to back, you're going to like blast your fucking heart out of your chest.
Oh god.
So,
okay, so you have to like take breaks.
Heroin, yeah.
You can kind of take a break.
Heroin, I've known a lot of people just to just, it's just a continuum thing all day. You know what I mean? And I mean, I guess really hard meth users do use all day, but normal, I think, like functional meth users are definitely like, let me get a bump here, let me do this here, let me smoke that there just to keep it going.
Got it. Okay. Got it. Okay. Now I understand.
Yeah.
Kind of like the thing with it. So.
But if, I mean, it's the same as like if you're overly abusing meth, you're going to be a different human being. You know, you're not going to be that, oh, I have a quick up here, I have a quick up there. Your thoughts are completely gone into a different world, bro.
Got it. Okay. So that actually makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Because this obviously day
right
from 0 to 100
exactly.
So after they ingested them at all these, you know, drugs,
right,
they went back to Shad's house, and where they started to engage in sexual intercourse, obviously something that these two did with each other. And I guess Taylor had, you know, obviously Shad's not here to be able to tell us his side of the story, but
right.
Taylor, in interviews with police have said that they like to engage in like asphyxiation.
Asphyxiation.
Fuck, I can't say these words. They're such big words. yeah. So they, you know, and I understand, you know, people like to like choke each other out, you know,
yeah.
do, you know, stuff like that, you know, like I've got kinky stuff that I like,
yeah.
you know, so no judgment there, but, apparently in this case, the day of the murder, she did put a dog collar on him, started to choke him. She told police that she did start to notice that blood was coming up out of his mouth. And obviously at that point, if you would have known that, if you would have seen that, and somebody probably would have realized, oh shit, I'm really fucking hurting this person.
Right. I probably should stop.
Yes. Well, she did not stop.
Right.
She decided to continue, and that's when she killed him. She did say the killing did take around 3 to 5 minutes, and that is correct.
So she was fully aware of what was going on, sounds like.
I mean, obviously, she was fully just engaged in, you know, pulling that.
Especially,
you know,
though,
I don't know when the trigger pulled for her, though. You know,
right.
did the trigger pull, like, before? Did she already have it in her brain
right.
that she was gonna...
Was it the blood that popped out of his mouth?
That she was just like, oh,
she was like, oh, this is it.
Yeah, like, we're just gonna... I mean, it's, I don't know. The psyche of that is,
right.
is the most scariest thing
right,
about
exactly.
that about her. You know, and she does have mental history. I do know that, you know, when she was, like, her father does talk about her having mental history when she was younger and stuff. Apparently, starting at the age of 12, started having like dark thoughts and everything. So
I would imagine that you'd have to have some type of mental history for this to happen.
Absolutely. The one thing people, even whether they kill one person or they kill a series of people, which makes them a serial killer, they all have one thing in common, which is there's something fucking missing.
Right.
Like,
right. It's not working.
Yeah, all of us have that button. Like, it's not,
right.
we can't murder today.
Right.
So, yes, so she did that. But it gets worse. So after that, she decided to continue to engage in sexual intercourse with the body, which is not only disgusting and a form of necrophilia. It is seriously disturbing. So she blatantly told the police, you guys can see the TikToks, you can watch the videos actually, where she
right.
like blatantly just says like, yeah, oh yeah. Like, and the cop's like, so you enjoyed it? And she was like, oh yeah.
Like, so it was like a fantasy at that point.
Yes. And that's again where I think might have, like, this is where it might have escalated. She probably had these fantasies that maybe Shad
right.
just wasn't aware of, or maybe he did share some sort of similar fantasies. I mean, obviously
right.
this isn't the first time they've been gone together.
Kinky.
Yeah, this is the first time they yeah. So, but unfortunately, we won't know ever on his
right.
end. And, but you never know how far and deep the mind goes.
Exactly. Yeah.
When it goes to
especially
that.
Just like
and,
the thought, you know. Like,
and drugs are going to be the one
exactly.
to pull it out of you.
That catapulted it for
so,
sure.
So, yes. Yeah, so after she's done having sex with the body, she decides, well, I mean, obviously, she's got to get rid of the body.
Right.
So instead of like dragging the body, putting the body in something, you know, I don't know. I mean, I don't know why I'm expecting this to get any
normal
people. You know? Yeah, what normal probably more normal murderers would do. It's just...
Yeah, I don't think there is any normal in this case.
So anyways, if we were following like maybe like a pattern, but she decides to put Chad's body at the end of the bed. So the feet are at the head of the bed and his head is off hanging off of the bed. And she decides to cut it off.
And you know, I imagine like she has to be so strong. Right? Like just to move.
Oh my God. Yes. I was thinking the same thing. You should see, actually, I got to pull up. I wonder if I can pull up the pictures for you to see the two little fucking knives that she used. They looked like little claws almost. And they were like knives. Like she had to like literally saw.
Right.
Like you had to.
This was time saving. Yes. Painful.
Yeah. And just like, I don't know, like. Could you be on meth and just be so fucking spun out of your mind that you're just like, oh, hey, like,
you know, I guess.
I mean, so. Maybe she's going to have the energy and stuff to do something like
and,
that.
And, you know, a lot of people report a lot of like superhuman strength, you know, like you get all messed out and all of a sudden, like you have fucking superhuman strength. So this little, you know, girl was decapitating a whole body. That is a lot of strength to have, regardless, you know?
Yeah, so maybe it is true. Maybe they do have, like, superhuman strength.
I don't know. I just can, you know? I just picture her moving this body around.
Uh-huh.
And, like, I don't know if you've ever moved a dead body or, like, a weightless body.
Yeah, definitely have. I've definitely. It is absolutely hard. I've picked up kids that are dead weight, you know, while they're sleeping.
Exactly.
You know? And it's just, it's... absolutely difficult. It's so hard. Doing like a grown 24-year-old right? man. Yeah. So she decapitated him and then she apparently took every single organ out of the body. She put those in bags and then she decided to store those. And then and she did, you know, dismember like the legs and the arms and the hands. Like she dismembered him. It's wild.
It's so crazy.
Absolutely wild. So her plan was to dismember him. Oh, side note, y'all. She did shower during all of this. Not with water. with his blood that she got all in the bucket. So,
right. Just to make sure she got it on every crevice.
Yeah, just so you guys are aware. So she did shower the crime scene.
I know.
Wrong shower, right. I would say, but this is where it's obviously getting extremely sadistic at this point. Right. Her fantasy is, or her psyche is beyond.
Right, that's what I was going to say. I feel like reality has completely detached itself.
Absolutely, point, and we don't know how much time was involved in this. We don't know, you know, how long, what she was doing in between. I'm sure she was still smoking, injecting in between
to keep it going.
Because obviously, if you've had sex for several hours, it's going to take you several hours to dismember a body. The list goes on.
Right.
So anyway,
time here.
Yes, though. Lots of time. Lots of time. Like, obviously, this is why the cops come 2 days later. But her plan was to put everything in bags. She decided to just, I guess, get lazy about everything and just start storing it. She stored like parts of the bodies like in like storage bins that were in the basement. Oh, by the way, you guys, did we talk about that they were in the basement when all of this happened? So there is a bed in the basement and I do believe that that's where Chad was either like staying or maybe it was just like an extra room that they had, you know.
Maybe just them two down there.
Them two down there going. So yes, they were in the basement. So she does store body parts around the house.
Other than the basement too?
Other than the basement.
Oh, so she's putting it everywhere.
Yes, she's putting it everywhere. Oh my God. And it's like, she made like a joke with the cops, like, oh, you know, it's going to be funny for you to see how much of him you can find.
She's like, because, it's Christmas.
Yeah, like, huh? Like, I don't know if that was like a plan. But anyways, during that, she decided that's probably not a good plan. So I'm going to try and take as many body parts as I can, stick them in her truck. And she was going to go dispose of him.
So she re-got all of them out of her hiding her places.
No, because they did find some in some storages. So I think the places that she did actually store them in the bins or the organs in the bags and stuff like that, she left. Like we said, she got a little lazy.
So crazy.
I think the meth was starting to wear off.
Yeah, she could have been coming down.
She, yes, had gotten, getting tired.
And now she's like, fuck, I have to...
Fuck, I have to go figure out what the hell's going on.
I was all
here.
Methed out and put this shit everywhere. Now I have to go find it.
Yes, now I have to go find it. And then I have to, oh, Jesus Christ, I don't know. So, anyways, she gets as many as she does, goes in her truck, leaves. Well, while she's gone, because this isn't her house that she does all of this at.
Right.
You guys, she's doing this in Shad's mother's house.
His mom.
Not his her mom, not her family, not her anything. All his mom. Talk about playing with some fucking fire, too. Right. Living on the edge. Like, was she ever worried at any time that this lady was gonna fucking come home?
That's what I was thinking.
Did she not know that she wasn't... again, details we don't know.
Right.
I probably could have looked at court documents and probably would have told us these details, but whatever. I like theorizing. It seems to be a little bit better.
It seems funner.
And you're already convicted, Taylor, so there's really nothing we can do here for you.
You're fucked.
Yeah. So anyways, the mother does come home later on.
Days later.
Yeah, I think it was 2 days later because it was 2 days later that. I think this happened on the 3rd, right, we said? And so I think by the 5th is when the cops, and they came early in the morning. They came at 5 a.m. So mom must have got home the next day. And Taylor, unfortunately, left Shad's head in a bucket at the bottom of the stairs of the basement. So when mom came home looking for her son.
That's what she found.
Law enforcement then went through the bucket. They also found his genitalia, so aka penis, in the bucket, along with the two knives that she used.
I wonder if like the penis was part of something that was so important to her that it had to be with the head. Why wasn't it put into a bag? Why wasn't it stored somewhere else? Why wasn't it dismembered with a leg or whatever?
Right. You know, it's funny you said that because I thought the same thing when I was reading it too. I was like, huh, interesting that I don't know if it's kind of like a fuck you homage.
Right.
Like, screw you, like to something, or it was more of like
a prized possession.
Yeah, like a prize, like your head and your penis were the things maybe I liked most about you.
That's all I needed from you. That's all I was going to keep hearing.
That too. I guess she didn't leave the heart.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I just find it so weird that it's the head and the penis.
Right. Yeah.
And horrible mom finding that.
Finding that. Coming home to that. So, yes. That was pretty gross. I have to interject into the podcast real quick. You'll notice that this next segment, Katie and I are actually not talking about the case. We took a break and we actually just started to kind of get to know each other and talk. But I wanted everyone to know one of the main reasons why I brought Katie on this podcast. And I think this next segment will explain it. I just had to give you guys a little explanation before I played it, or else it would have been a little confusing. So I promise we go back to the case after this. But take a listen, hear her story.
Okay. Most of them too are like, most of the teens that I've heard, they're all like, oh well, like I know so and so, I know him, like he's got good shit. I'm like,
yes,
do you think your drug dealer knows what drugs they're dealing? First off, second, you think your drug dealer gives a flying fuck?
Exactly. I don't get it.
Yeah. I don't.
Well, he understands, or yeah, or yeah. They test it. Now the big thing is
they test it.
They test it. Yeah. You know,
I think a lot of people like to hide behind that because you can test all your drugs all you fucking want nowadays.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like anybody can test their fucking drugs. Yeah. But it's like, are you actually testing it? Are you testing it after you've already like done whatever you've done to cut it? Most of the time that when you buy drugs nowadays, you're buying it from a middleman of a middleman of a middleman of a middleman who has stepped on it 10 times before it's even gotten to them. So your little drug dealer that you may think is, oh, he gets fire shit, he gets fucking good ass shit, maybe hearing that from the guy he got it from, but then we're talking about 10 other people that you have no idea where it's come from and come through.
Absolutely.
That's the point. That's the part of it, you know? Uh-huh. And then these kids are selling it to fucking kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is. It's super scary. Super scary to know.
And again, you have, it's so crazy to me nowadays, like just the percentages, like to say you have a 60% chance of getting anything. It's not just heroin. It's not just a pill. It's not just coke. It's anything.
Yep.
If you buy drugs, you are taking a 60% chance that it has fentanyl on it. Knowingly. Knowing. You know it. And even the people who are like, oh, no, that's not me. I get clean shit. I do this. I do that.
Mm-hmm. That's what you hear all the time.
Yep. And that's how, those are the people who end up in, you know, hospitals, and they end up overdose. And we're talking about 13-year-old kids.
Yeah.
You know, we're not talking about your fucking little brother who's 25 years old and living in your mom's house doing drugs. No, we're talking about some 13-year-old kid who wants to try coke for their first time and is dying because of this.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so...
it's getting crazy.
It
Sorry.
Is. No, it is. It's crazy. I'm like, it's heavy and it's sad. Yeah. No, it's sad and so scary. I mean, I have a daughter. My daughter's going to be 13 on December 7th, you know? So it hits right at home with me. You know, it's something that's so concerning. I don't want her to go out and experiment, or, you know, want to be able to experiment and then die.
Yeah. I think the main thing, like for me, I don't have kids, but for me, if I'm not, I have, you know, niece, nephews, and they're coming up on that age. And I think for me, the biggest thing you can do to protect your kids nowadays is fucking educate them.
Yeah.
Don't be scared, because if you aren't, someone or something else is.
Is, yeah. It's like, I think parents are also too so quick to like hide it. You know, I mean, obviously you're going to hide it from your kids if you are doing any sort of, you know, extracurricular activities. Most normal parents aren't going to like,
rocks and lines, Mike.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, you're right. Educating about it, not being scared to talk to your children about the, what is going on, especially when they're entering that time and that where they're going to be introduced. And honestly, nowadays it's so scary as a parent. You don't know when your fucking kid's going to be introduced to something, you know,
and
my daughter could have already known what all this shit is.
And on top of it, we're talking about kids, right? So kids get into shit all the fucking time, you know? Yeah. And just because Sally has this prescription that works with her, great, doesn't mean that it's going to work great with you.
Yeah.
Well, think
about when you and I were kids, obviously, you know, obviously we both experimented. Obviously we both did things that our parents probably would be like, what the fuck?
You know,
like I think about it all the time. There's actually times that I think back and I'm like, I'm surprised I'm alive. Like just the party
pretty much every day.
I'm
like, oh fuck, I woke up today.
Yeah, I woke up. Yes. All right, we're winning. We still got this. Yeah. Trust me, I wake up every day too, even going, man, my kid's still alive. I haven't fucked this up.
Right now, I just think, again, the biggest thing that you can do to protect your kids is fucking educate them, even if you are scared shitless.
Yeah.
Educating them. No matter what, it's going to happen. And the best thing you can do is give them that armory that you gave them.
Yeah.
That you know, like, I know my kid knows this because I told them.
Yeah.
Not because, you know, their friend's mom, who's a fucking drug addict, told them that it's okay to take their friend's pills.
Yeah.
That's where you, as a parent, should have come in and, like, I taught my kid 5 years ago, you don't take nobody else's fucking pills unless they're yours.
Yeah.
Unfortunately,
definitely.
A lot of parents,
and it sucks that we have to do stuff like that. You know,
I hear a lot of parents too. They're like, "Well, like, you know, you're introducing them. You're introducing them. You're making it a glorified thing." No, I'm telling your kids that this is what's going to happen.
Yeah, this is what's going to happen.
Regardless if you think little Sally is a fucking straight A student and doesn't have those kinds of friends, like, she's going to be around it, and you might as well tell her.
Yeah, exactly, and not be I try and keep a very open line of communication with my daughter. That's one thing I do.
That too,
right? I don't want her. She is definitely in her feels. Man, teenagers fucking suck!
Fuck that. Especially females. Girl.
You know what? And let me tell you, Katie, when I was 16 years old, I was at my wit's end with my mom. Her and I were at it, you know. Even my stepmom and my dad, I had tiffs with every once in a while. My stepmom and my dad were a lot better at talking to me when I was older. It was really nice. I did have that outlet with them. But I remember the times that I was so mad at them, and I just was like, I'm gonna remember when I'm a teenager. Like, trust me, I remember that like it was yesterday, you know?
Oh, yeah.
But now I'm a mom.
Right.
And now I got a teenager. And now I'm like, you stupid fucking little girl, Trisha. You were the dumbest piece of shit that ever walked this earth. Like, don't listen to you.
They're all coming back for you.
Yeah, 100%. Like, I can't.
I'm like, give you guys props for the teenage females nowadays, man.
Well, thanks.
That's not me.
I wanted to talk about a little bit about what you do, because obviously you have a story. I don't know if you want to, or you feel comfortable sharing your story.
I'd love to.
You know, yeah, I want to hear your story. What happened with you, you know, because we'll finish talking about Taylor and everything, and we'll close out the trial area and what ended up happening with her and everything. But yeah, I want to talk about you and your story, because the story is derivative from, you know, drugs. I want to stress enough to people that I think drugs are swept under the rugs a lot.
Yes.
I think there's a lot of stigmatism still around like drugs. Like, and I also think there's a lot of people that are very uneducated about what's going on. You know, I found myself, I think, definitely in the drug world, you know, in my 20s and stuff like that. You know, even now, you know, as an adult, I still come across. So I just want people to be educated and aware.
Yeah,
I do think there's a stigmatism, and I think that we need to talk about it. We need to normalize talking about drugs.
Drugs, for sure.
Yeah.
Just to piggyback on that just a little bit, not just drugs, though. It's really what leads up to the user using, right? So, like, what mental health are you battling that made you become an addict, right? Because we don't become 100%. An addict in one use.
Yeah.
It's a learned habit. So I think that is like a big thing that gets swept under the rugs with the drugs. You know, they're like, oh, well, she was just fucking high, so of course she's crazy.
Yes.
Right. But there's just so much more to that, I think, and people don't give her the chance to say even, you know? I mean,
especially
her in her case.
Yes. And in this case in particular too, you know, like if she would have gotten early intervention, you know, at 12, when she had told her father that she was having those things, then maybe she wouldn't have gone down the route that she did.
Or self-medicate, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Going backwards. Me.
Yeah. Yes.
I like to tell my story a little bit like backwards, just like from where I am now and how I came here.
Yeah.
So right now I just started my clothing company last year in February of 2022.
Right.
We are a like sober recovery based clothing company. So I try to like put out a lot of stuff that everybody would want to wear, but also people who are in recovery, affected by recovery, substance abuse, I think a lot of people don't give props to the people who are affected by it more so than just the users, right? Like, so family, you know, your loved ones, stuff like that. So I really like to like touch base on that too.
Yeah.
Part of my company is education. I love to educate people and just like give them another thought, maybe even during their day. I also do distribute Narcan. So when I go out to like Elsinore, I give out a lot of Narcan out there.
Yes.
So people stop me all the time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow,
I love
that.
That's
so cool. Yeah. That's really awesome.
They message me all the time. Like, can I get Narcan? So right now, the way that we have it, it's super awesome. We do have it over the counter.
Uh-huh.
So like anybody can go get Narcan, right?
Okay. Yeah.
And I don't know many addicts that have $90 that want to spend it on Narcan.
Yeah, no.
So, the people who really do need the Narcan aren't going to go out looking to spend money on it, right?
Absolutely.
So, a big thing for me is, like, being able to have that for people who can't get that or won't get that, because those are usually the people who need it the most, you know?
Yeah.
So, I'm doing that and my clothing thing. I really, really love it. I like to see people out in public. They always call me out because my car, I have a big, huge buck fentanyl in my car.
Uh-huh.
So people see me, try to give them a shirt or whatever. But what made me start my company was my best friend, Rachel Roman. She passed away in 2018 to a heroin overdose.
Oh,
And she was injecting, you know, and doing all that. Her, I'm pretty sure her mom found her in her room, just completely blue, still had a needle in her arm. It was fucking terrible. In 2018, that was also the time where I was using with her, and we were, you know, alongside doing all that.
Yeah.
She was my ride or die best friend, you know, like everything she did, I did, same vice versa. And then she passed away. So that was like a huge, obviously, turning point in my life where like it could have gone one or two ways.
Yeah.
And I had like a moment of just like clarity that was just like, I can't fucking do this anymore. Like, I'm going to fucking die. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously, like, this is where it's going is death.
Yeah.
So I just got clean. I don't know what happened. I don't know how it happened.
It was it just like one day you woke up? And yeah. Like, yeah.
To be honest, it was like, you know, obviously it's really hard even now. Like, mm-hmm. I have my days where I'm like, fuck, like, I wish I could just be an addict again. But like, you know, like, we just come so far that that's not even a thought in my mind most of the time. It's really not a thought in my mind. But yeah. And so she passed away. I finally got clean off of heroin, and like I was doing heroin and Xanax and blow and like pretty much anything that I could get my hands on while being a full fucking alcoholic at the same time.
Yeah.
So, you know, doing all those things coinciding together will just make you completely lost in who you are and like where your moral compass is and like where you're going in life.
Yeah.
That definitely like stunted me into like this different like growth. Also meeting my wife.
Yeah. I
so, heard Brooke
had a big handle on that too.
Yeah, Brooke definitely gave me a different, like, reason, I guess you would say, without doing it. You know, like, so, like, a lot of people in my whole life, like, they always were like, you need to get clean, like, you need to go to rehab, you need to do this, you need to do that. And Brooke just kind of was like, I don't want you to do this, but I love you. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? And, like, she was like, even if you're going to choose this path, like, I'm not going to let you die from it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want this for you. But she just did it in such a different way that, like, everybody else. And I think that's really important, right? Is that, like, a lot of people that are in addiction just think that there's one way out. And there's not. You know what I mean? There's not the whole, like, your fucking family hates you. You're not going to jail, then rehab and doing all that. There's really not.
Yeah.
Like, what works for you is what fucking works for you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I'm getting actually super emotional talking about this. This story is just really great, Katie. Like, you should be so fucking proud of yourself.
Thank you.
Stop! Like, no, it's I'm emotional for another reason as well. But just, like, hearing your story and knowing that there's outs for people and stuff is just so incredibly important, you know? And I think people forget that, you know?
Yeah.
You know, and yes, there are other ways out, you know? So I'm going to actually stop this real quick because I'm going to share something with Katie, but this is a little personal. So give us a sec. All right, guys, we are back now.
Recovered.
So let's talk about her trial a little bit, just because I showed you the TikTok videos too.
Scary.
Yes. So she did opt to not testify for herself.
I'm not surprised.
So it's smart.
That was probably the smartest move she's made so far.
She had her father actually come and testify for her. So
the one who was in jail?
Yes, the one that was in jail.
Okay.
So, actually she does try and get the insanity plea is the first thing that they try and go for. Obviously she does have the, you know, previous history as like a young child, you know, I guess the father testified that she's always had like dark thoughts. I guess it started at like 12 years old. Eventually leading into her older years where obviously nothing had been treated.
So I think that was a big reason why she didn't get the insanity plea.
Well, it's funny,
yes,
it's funny you say that because I was listening to his testimony and at the very end of the testimony, I was like, well, that's not a way to get somebody the insanity plea because they're asking all these questions like, do you think she has compassion? And he's like, yes.
Yeah.
And they're like, and he's like, yeah. And they're like, do you think that she should be reintroduced into society? And he's like, yes, I think she should be given a chance. And it's like, well, if you're saying that, then she's not insane.
She's not insane.
Yeah, you're wanting to give
her
a chance.
You need to back up your insanity, right?
Yeah, you need to back up your insanity and basically say,
don't, like, overzealous.
Like, yeah, but the truth about her is that, you know, she probably was a normal, compassionate person. You know?
At one point in time.
Yeah, at one point in time, yeah. Like, she probably does, you know, people are still people. Even if they're murderers or they have all these crazy thoughts or they're drug addicts or whatever they are, they're still
Were kids once too.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. And they are someone's kids.
Yeah.
You know, they are someone's possibly aunt, uncle, brother, sister, you know,
mom,
husband, wife, you know, like it doesn't. Yeah. Like there's so many. Yeah. Mom, dad. Like, so it's the list goes on. So obviously the insanity thing didn't work. So she ends up going to trial and she does get convicted. Obviously there's uber amounts of evidence. There's body cam footage too of the officers. Not only did she make a full confession to officers, but there's body cam footage. There was like blood inside her car.
That was my question. Did she ever deny doing it?
No, I don't think so.
So this was something she was like, I fucking did this.
Yes,
this
that she always,
I,
yeah. She, yeah, she talked about it. She frolicked about it. Like, I just feel like
she showered in it.
Yeah, so she showered in it.
She was proud.
Yeah, she definitely showboated for sure, you know. And I think maybe at some point the reality of the charges have to somehow... I believe everybody in Just Said, unless you're truly insane. So I think she did try the insane route during the whole trial to get, you know, insanity. She even attacked her lawyer, you know, during that. They had to put a spit bag around her.
The spit bag was crazy,
you know,
to see.
Yeah, you got to do spit bag, make sure they don't spit, bite, whatever the case may be.
Your own defense.
Yeah, on your own defense, or just, you know, like, I think it was more of like a showboating too, of like trying to be like, look at me, I'm insane.
I guess so, yeah.
Which, you know, she probably was insane at the moment that she committed the murder.
Yeah, it does not sound like sanity is in play here.
Yeah, no, but no, not at all. This was full-blooded murder, and whether you're spun out or not, you still committed fucking murder.
And you dismembered.
So, yeah, so she was, I think she was tried on three convictions, and she did get all three convictions. In Wisconsin, they do not have the death penalty, so therefore she has got life in prison without the possibility of parole. So, which I think
so
is
she's
a,
stuck there forever.
So stuck in the system, she'll be forced to get clean, and then we'll see what happens there. You know,
yeah.
I mean, our prison systems aren't rehabilitation centers, unfortunately.
Right.
I think
kind of a lock and key thing.
Yeah, you know, and once you're in the system, you're there. And I think it's just, you're there for life. So it's up to the prisoners at that point and what they want to do.
They're not going to go out of their way to give them to a mental health institution and try to rehabilitate them, like you said.
Right, yeah.
It's not really their goal.
No, it's life in prison. They're another body. They're another number. They're another...
mouth to feed.
They're another... somebody's chunk of change in their pocket, because we all know our prison systems out here are independently owned. Yep, independently owned money makers. Yeah. So that's what, there's her story, you know, as far as that, kind of sad. And
I wonder where she's at now.
She is at Taichachi Correctional facility,
okay,
I believe is where it's at, somewhere in Wisconsin.
But she's sober, yes. Or
I mean, well, I don't know.
I mean,
we definitely know the drugs run through the prison, or, you
well,
know. But she is,
true.
She's in prison, so
I wonder where I'm
she's
at
in
mentally,
a,
where she's at now.
Oh, right.
I wonder if she's at the point where she's like, wow, I did this, and now I'm.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. She was very, like, flippant through all of
it.
You saw her behavior. Like,
maybe
just
she's just so
very
proud of herself.
Or maybe just not even acknowledging it. I think a lot of people, when they
could
go
be.
Into that, will go in denial for a long time. I mean, it's not like you have to talk about it every day. The last thing you talk about with prisoners, I think, sometimes, or I don't know, I've never been, but I've
we're
heard.
Not prison.
Yeah, I'm like, I've heard,
we're
like,
not
people, you
pros.
Just, like, yeah, the... you know, they ask you what's going on.
Right.
That's like one of the things, like, what are you in for? Because they want to know how long you're there. But
That's about it.
But yeah, when you're in maximum, or she's in maximum / medium security prison, so.
That's so crazy. Uh-huh. I would be so scared to be her guard.
I would go
crazy. She mutilated a grown man.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A girl, all by herself.
All by herself, yep, just. I mean, I don't know. I probably wouldn't be the monkey that's like sharing my fucking commissary with her. That's
yeah,
for sure.
I don't think we'd be best friends, but
no.
Definitely
who
not
knows? They probably have her locked up in like probably
the
like that. I don't know. Maybe
by herself,
or just. I mean, a lot of people that yeah are crazy or like cause problems in there. You're gonna go in what they call it with the hole.
Yeah.
Know, or I don't even
like
think
segregation.
It's the, yeah. Or world. What is it? What is the word that I'm thinking of where you're by yourself? Solitary confinement. There we go.
We got there.
Yeah. So yeah, solitary, I would assume. But that's like, I think solitary confinement is one of the worst things you would ever
do.
Especially
if you're
insane
already
person.
Insane. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like if you're already
most,
insane.
It's definitely like abuse.
Torture.
Yeah, for sure.
Torture. You might as well just strap me to a fucking chair and fry my brain out.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to sit in a room of it.
Oh. Yeah, it's so sad. It's just awful.
It's awful, but, I mean, she was pretty awful.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, she was awful. I mean, I'm like, yeah, I'm sitting here going, God.
For her.
I was just thinking about it more, like, myself. Like, Jesus, me in solitary confinement.
I guess you know, like, don't dismember a body, and you won't end up there, hopefully.
Man, it's just crazy.
The world is fucking crazy.
It is. It's crazy how things, like, happen like that, though, too.
Yeah.
But see, people, so I think the whole point of this episode today, too, is to make sure that, I mean, just don't do drugs.
Yeah, drugs
you
will
know?
Definitely.
You know, yeah.
Send
like,
you off the edge.
Yeah.
Especially, though, I think a bigger point is that the mental health umbrella is often shut by a bigger umbrella on, you know, criminal or drug offenses, instead of really diving in and saying, okay, so why is this woman on meth dismembering her boyfriend?
Yeah, exactly. And well, I mean, I just, this, unfortunately, Katie, I think is going to be another case that's just going to be kind of filed in with
for
other
sure.
people with mental health issues, you know, and that's kind of like what's wrong with our system today, you know, as far as like not rehabilitating. Funny you talk about that too, because I've watched on Netflix World's Toughest Prisons.
Me too.
Okay. And do you see some of them are actual like rehabilitation centers?
No.
Like
yes,
some of the ones in the other countries that are like tough, but you can rehabilitate, you can like actually earn days
yes.
off, you know, and
yes,
like
I
just,
saw one that they had like a dorm sentence, like it's very open, and the
yes.
prisoners just walk around, and they have to learn how to be a normal human being,
yeah,
and
like
to
actually interact in society
yes.
with other people, yeah,
instead of let's lock these people in a hole for X amount of days, and then assume that when we release them back into our society, that they're going to be normal, everyday, great citizens.
Yeah,
that makes no sense.
Yeah. Totally. It does not at all.
It's like, let's cage a dog and then be surprised when it bites me.
Uh-huh.
It makes no sense.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I absolutely agree. But again, it's what's wrong with our prison systems.
Also,
we
I guess,
don't
like,
have
we
money
should
more.
Just, like,
yeah, like,
you know, if you're just, like, not murdering and dismembering people, we'll be pretty good, right?
So much more well off, guys, you know? There's other people on the other end being like, shut up, guys. You know, this is how we make our money.
Right.
Which is sad,
uh-huh.
fucked up about society. Well, I want to thank you, Katie, today for
thank
joining
you
me.
So much,
you
had
know,
a great time.
Yeah, me too. Thank you for sharing your story with my listeners.
Yeah, of course.
Is there anything else that you want to like add and talk about? You
well,
know,
if you guys would like to see any of my stuff on, I do.
Yes,
just,
plug in social media.
Yeah, little plug right here. This is my social media. I do pretty much everything on Instagram. It is Roman Roman Resource Project, all one word. We do, like I said, Narcan, clothing, education, all that. If you guys ever want to reach out or need anything, I am just a message away. I usually respond within the day. So
I'll definitely put a link up for Katie so you guys can click on that and go take it right to her page if you ever need anything, you know. Yeah, check out Roman Resource.
Yes, and I do have free Narcan even for people who aren't around me. You just pay shipping and it comes right to you.
Sweet. Do you guys hear that? So yes, if this, you know, if you need anything, reach out.
Yeah,
it's the best. Free Narcan, guys.
Free.
So
it's the best word ever.
Friends, family members, you know, and don't tell them, please, not to feel worried about reaching out if they want to keep it anonymous and want to send it to somebody. You know, she's willing to do that as well.
Let's just get everybody to have it at least, you know.
It's better than people dying on us.
Exactly.
So, yes. Thank you, Katie.
Thank you. Had a great time.
Yes. And till next time, see you next week on Tuesdays with Trisha.
I hope you guys enjoyed this week's episode of Tuesdays with Trisha. It's really fun having guests again on the episode. It takes a little pressure off of me, too. But Katie, if you're listening to this, well, wait a second. Now that I think about it, you better be listening to this. But I want to thank you again so much for being on the podcast, opening up your heart and soul, sharing your story was so amazing. You obviously touched my heart as I was tearing up through half the episode. So thank you for that. But thank you again so much for being on the podcast. I really appreciate it. And also a big thanks to Brooke. It's my coworker there. She's the one that, you know, gave me the info to her wife to be able to have her on. So thank you, Brookie, for it. And I want to encourage everybody, if you can, follow us on Instagram. You can find Katie at Roman Resource Project on Instagram. You can find Brooke, her wife, on Instagram as well. At, I think it's Brooke 82. No, 92. Sorry, Brooke. Brooke92. You can find me at Tuesdays with Trisha, and my backup account is also at Tuesdays with Trish. My hashtags are TWT and hashtag Tuesdays with Trisha. See you next week. Bye.